So the saints, we run into that word saint every once in a while. Most of you are aware that I was on a battle tour back at the end of September, beginning of October, and when I was in France and Belgium, we had the chance to visit a number of cathedrals, and of course, like in most cathedrals, there's lots of stained glass, there were statues and paintings, and most of those depicted in that artwork were listed as saints. Saints. You might also come across a saint. I mean, you might notice around the necks of some of your Catholic friends a pendant with an image or an inscription. There's a pretty good chance that that medal honors a saint. So, who are these saints? Who are these saints? At our last Alpha study, we're meeting at a coffee shop, 5 Bean. In our last Alpha study, we heard a story from World War II about a Franciscan priest named Maximilian Kolbe. Now, he was with a bunch of prisoners in Auschwitz, and during his time there, 10 prisoners were chosen at random to die because someone had escaped. Someone had escaped the prison, so the overlord said, okay, someone's going to pay for this. 10 of you, you're going to the starvation bunker. Now, one of the 10 was a husband and a parent, and he cried out, my family, what am I going to do? When Kolbe heard this man's plight, he volunteered. He said, I'll take this man's place. And to everyone's surprise, this exchange was accepted. Now, eventually, all those 10 individuals chosen to die died, including Kolbe. Kolbe is now recognized by the Roman Catholic Church as a saint. But it's not just faithful people or martyrs who are given this designation. In the Roman Catholic Church, there is a process, right? There's a process for everything, and there's a process for becoming a saint. To be a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, you must be a devoted Christian who's lived a life that was selfless and benevolent and exemplary. But more than this, you must have performed at least 2 miracles. People need to know that you can intervene on behalf of others, and that's ascribed to Kolbe. It wasn't just that he took someone, stood in for someone else, but others are believed to have been healed because of his work. Now, being a Christian, that's one thing. Living an exemplary life, that's another thing. Causing miracles? Well, we're getting into a pretty exclusive list, right? Pretty exclusive club. However, as Protestants, we see things a little differently. In our church, all believers are called saints. Hence, all the hands on that poster. They're called saints even when their character is dubious. I mean, the reference saint is for all those who belong to God. In today's Bible passage, the New International Version simply avoids using the word saint. That's why I asked Keith to read from the NRSV. In 3 places where the NRSV speaks of saints, the NIV simply says God's holy people, or simply God's people. They see saint as an adjective rather than a noun. It's a translation discussion, I guess. Those who trust in God are understood by the Bible to be saints. You and me, we are saints. God's holy people, God's people. But can we say anything more about the saints? I mean, are there any particular characteristics of the saints, just like those qualifications for sainthood that we find in the Roman Catholic Church? Well, today's Bible passage was written to the saints in Colossae, and it describes their characteristics as well as the hopes that the Apostle Paul has for them. So I think it can tell us quite a bit about what it means to be a saint. But to do this in a way that makes sense, if you're following along, if you found Colossians, I'm going to work backwards and forwards through this passage. Near the end of the reading in verse 13, Paul speaks of those saints in Colossae and himself as being rescued from the power of darkness and brought into Christ's kingdom. It continues in verse 14 to say that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That, in my view, is the qualifying characteristic of being a saint. Not that we are particularly exemplary in behavior, or that we have done anything ourselves, but that we have been rescued and redeemed and forgiven by Christ. That word translated here, rescued, is the same word used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, to depict God's deliverance of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Through the death of Jesus, God has rescued us and delivered us. We have been set free and brought into Christ's kingdom. That is what objectively makes us saints, one characteristic. But those who have been brought into this new kingdom are called to live in very particular ways. I mean, you were listening to the children's story, those Beatitudes, the behavior that is called from us by Jesus. This is maybe where being a saint has become synonymous with being virtuous. Saints are called to certain behavior. In his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul commends the saints for their behavior, all that has already been reported to him. This takes us to the beginning of today's passage. In verse 3 and following, Paul shares that he thanks God for them because of their faith in Jesus Christ and the love that they have for all the saints. Their lives have a strong vertical and horizontal dimension. They are connected to Christ, and they are connected to one another. Paul sees the source of this faith and love as hope. It is the certainty that blessing awaits us in the life to come that provides a foundation for a faith that takes risks and love, and a love that reaches beyond our comfort zones. Their hope grounds them. It allows them to call out to God through Jesus. It allows them to love people who are sometimes difficult to love. The saints are people who are saved. The saints express themselves in faith and love and hope. And the saints also have a growing understanding of God's will. You'll find this in the middle of today's passage. After praising the saints for the work they are doing, Paul notes his prayer for them in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, why does God ask? Why does Paul ask that they might grow in spiritual knowledge? Well, he continues, so that you might lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work. Paul wants the saints to deepen their understanding of God so it might take root and have expression in their lives, not so they can tick off that they've, well, I've gone through a Bible study on Colossians. The knowledge Paul prays that we might have is clearly more than intellectual. True biblical knowledge is known by its fruit. Knowledge of God and His Word will go beyond the head and will have practical expression in our everyday lives. And so from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, who are the saints? The saints are people who are saved. The saints express themselves in faith, love, and hope. The saints are growing and in their understanding of God's will, and this is impacting how they live. So on this basis, would you consider yourself a saint? Would you number yourself in the company? I mean, do you know something about God's rescue and forgiveness in your own life? Do you have a hope beyond this life that impacts your relationship with God and neighbor? Are you growing in your understanding of God's purposes and trying to put this into action. I think that many of us could say yes. Yes. We know something about forgiveness. We are putting our bets on this being true. We are slowly learning. We are trying to understand. In Christ and through Christ, we are God's saints. We might not be exceptional in our service. We may never be called to offer our lives as martyrs, but we are the saints. We are God's church. So thanks be to God. Amen.